Welcome to Nerdsplain It, a comic book podcast for every level of nerd. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. If you're listening on iTunes, make sure you leave us a review. As always, I am House. I am joined today by my other, now four other horsemen of the Nerdpocalypse. As always, we've got Jess.
Hello.
Greg.
What's going on, everyone?
Our boy, Dave.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
And today, welcoming for the first time, the new addition to our team. You're going to see his bio and picture up on our website here very shortly. He's going to be taking care of some of our social media stuff. He's going to be coming in here as an expert on some topics. This is our boy from the Lou, Jerry Wookie Bay.
Hey, thank you for having me, guys. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. We're all so excited to have Jerry here, and we can't wait to have him on more episodes. Today's topic is actually going to be coming to us from a call-in from the Nerdsplainit helpline, which, as always, that phone number is 805-669-7230. Again, 805-669-7230. We're going to play the voicemail that was left for us by our friend Wolfman.
Hi, this is Wolfman. Yeah, after digging around on your guys' page, I came across your hotline for quick questions here, and I hope maybe this is a quick one for you. I am thinking about getting back into reading some more comics again, especially thanks to your show giving me a little more want on the subjects. So I'm thinking about maybe getting into The Punisher. I always kind of dug Frank Castle, want to learn more about him. So my question to you would be, if someone is going to get back into reading comics, does it behoove them at all to go ahead and buy individual copies? Or like the novels, where it's like, I think that's what they're called, where it's every book for that series is in one book. I don't know as far as, is it worth resale value to go one way or another? Or if I'm just wanting to learn a story, does it make more sense to go ahead and do the novel? I appreciate your guys' help. Thank you, guys.
So, as you kind of got from that, we are going to be talking Punisher today. The Man in Black. Jerry, what are some nicknames for the Punisher?
I always call him Frankie Boy.
Frankie Boy. Yeah. Frankie Boy. So, I know some about the Punisher. Dave knows some about the Punisher. Jerry knows lots about the Punisher. Jess and Greg, as our blank slates, what are some questions that are burning holes, you know, similar to what Wolfman had there? We can get into, you know, where should someone start reading? Should they go invest in single issues? Should they just pick up trades? But let's talk about who Frank Castle is. What questions do you guys have?
Well, first of all, is Frank Castle Marvel or DC?
Oh, that's a good question. He's actually Marvel. His first appearance is teaming up with the villain named Jackal to try to kill Spider-Man, and that would be an Amazing Spider-Man issue number 129, released in 1974.
So he showed up in the Punisher showed up in Spider-Man first.
Yeah,
teaming up. So he was trying to hunt Spider-Man, or was he just like an assassin trying to kill Peter Parker?
What?
His actual, during the first draft of this issue, he was actually called the Assassin.
Oh.
But Stan Lee didn't think the Assassin had a redeemable name to him, so they switched him to the Punisher later, before it was released. And yeah, so he's actually hired to kill Peter Parker by a character named Jackal.
Oh, wow.
Because Jackal's saying Peter Parker, aka Spider-Man, killed, I want to say, Norman Osborn at this point. So the Jackal's like, hey, Punisher, he's a really bad guy, go take care of him. And Punisher, doing what Punisher does, goes, okay, and goes to try to kill Spider-Man.
So, at that point then, which issue number?
129.
Oh, yeah, that would have been like five issues after, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, out there in the universe. I want to say that's only like five issues after the death of Gwen Stacy, yeah, and when Spider-Man hunts down the Green Goblin for that and beats him to about an inch of his life.
Yeah.
And yeah, Norman Osborn, as I recall, does die from that. I have a question, though.
Yeah.
Was it, is the Punisher a Stan Lee creation, or was it somebody else?
Oh, no, Stan Lee at this time was the editor of Marvel. He was originally created by Gary Conway and Ross Andrew, I want to say you pronounce his last name. but the design of the Punisher was John Romita Sr.
Oh, so he's the one we have to thank for the white go-go boots?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, who is that?
John Romita Sr.?
Yeah.
Well, he is the father of the famous John Romita Jr., who is also a comic book artist. John Romita Jr., the last thing I remember him doing like most recently was he did a run on Superman that I couldn't have disagreed with more visually. other than, yeah, but so Dave, you know that.
So John Romita Sr. Is, anytime you think of the classic looks of a lot of your Marvel heroes from like the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and well forward. I may be wrong about the 60s. Most of those looks or how you see them in your head is John Romita Sr. designs.
Gotcha.
That is just, when you think of, okay, what does Spider-Man look like? And you're thinking Spider-Man that has the red, the blue, a lot of the webbing, but not the web wings, John Romita Sr. Your Captain America, where it's more of the sort of chainmailish or feathering on the chest.
Okay.
John Romita Sr.
The scale look.
Yeah, that sort of scale look.
Wow.
What's up?
And that's actually when they first designed Punisher, he only had a small little skull over his chest.
Oh.
And then when John Romita Sr. took over, he blew that skull up. And he's like, no, now that's.
But
he kept the go-go boots.
Blow up the skull. He needs to look badass.
Exactly.
He needs to look like after work he could go dancing if he needs to.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, he has pre-Labor Day Punisher, and then he wears black boots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's conscious.
He's very fashion savvy.
Yeah.
So
I feel like he had a pet rock.
So we know, you know, where he came from. What about his backstory? Like, what happened?
Okay, I'm going to try not to cry while telling this. So his backstory changes depending on which timeline you read, but for the most part, it is the same. He's a war veteran, have it be World War I, Vietnam, or the new Middle Eastern War. When he comes home, he does a picnic with his family, and a gang shootout happens. His family gets just slaughtered in front of him. He lives. One thing that's constant is he lets the police try to do their job.
Okay.
And every time when they fail, he's like, okay, my turn. I'm a war guy. I know how to go to war. And he just goes after criminals.
Wow.
My question there about his family dying, has there been changes or the consistency on like his wife and then like how many kids he had, or was it, in the Thomas Jane Punisher from 2006, I do thoroughly enjoy that movie. I'm sure we'll talk about that more here in a little bit. But in that, it was his wife Maria and son, who I don't know.
Frank Jr.
Okay, and then in Warzone, I think they kept the consistent. Mm-hmm. But then I couldn't remember if they changed that for like the Netflix series.
If you remember, actually, so yeah, in the comics, he has two kids.
Okay,
Frank Jr. And the girl's name usually changes.
Okay.
In the Thomas Jane movie, if you remember, before the shootout happens, his wife does say she is pregnant. So technically, there is two kids in that, too.
Okay.
Well, we're not going to get into a whole debate on whether actually, because I'm sorry.
We're talking Punisher. We're talking when life ends, actually. Yeah.
And then in the Netflix show, yes, he has two kids again.
Okay.
So yeah,
okay.
It's typically wife, two kids. Boy, girl. Usually it's Frank Jr. So
your standard nuclear family.
Yeah, your standard American just family. You know, Vietnam war vet of some type family.
Okay, so that makes sense that he would have been a Nam vet in the 80s.
Yeah.
That would have been, I guess that would have made the most sense for him to have been a Nam vet. And then
60s would have been a World War II vet. When was he a World War I vet?
In the short series of Marvel Noir.
Oh, what was Marvel Noir again?
Oh man, Marvel Noir was neat. It was I don't know how they picked the team of writers or anything like that, but they just took certain characters from the Marvel Universe and put them in these film noir, you know, times and styles. So most of the comics, if I recall correctly, were black and white.
Right.
The characters had complete redesigns of their looks. Some of them were very good.
Oh, like, is that where the steampunk Spider-Man came from?
The Spider-Man that's like in like a black mask with like the goggles.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's Spider-Man Noir. That was actually a really good one. Daredevil Noir was really good. Some of them fell a bit flat. I think they did an X-Men Noir or Wolverine Noir that wasn't that great. But they had, Daredevil, Spider-Man, Punisher, Luke Cage was one.
Yeah, Luke Cage was one.
I can't remember all the other ones.
And technically, in Punisher Noir, Frank gets killed, and it's Frank Jr. that takes up the mantle.
Oh, wow.
Frank is still a World War One vet. So there is a slight change in character there, but for the most part, it stays the same.
Okay, gotcha.
So you guys mentioned about, I guess, the gang shootout. So is that also something that changed? Like, did Frank do something to where the gang came after him and his family? Or was it just something happened like on their street and then their house?
I read up in my research that he was at a park and like a pretty public park at the time. And he ran into what was going on.
It's usually Central Park.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it wasn't in their neighborhood.
Yeah. No. For the most part, they're just there. Spoilers, of course, going on for the Netflix Punisher show. I'm weird about spoilers, so I have to throw that out there. In the Punisher show, he is the target. So that's the only time that he is the target. And with the Thomas Jane movie, he's the target. But for the most part, he's having a picnic after coming home from war with his family.
Right.
And then life takes course.
Well, what about the Dolph Lundgren one from 1989? Was he the target?
Oh, that's like Indiana Jones 4 for me.
Wait, so he was
Dolph Lundgren fighting the Yakuza, and the Punisher is blonde and riding a motorcycle.
Yeah,
how is that like Indiana Jones 4?
Oh, it's because it's actually
Dolph Lundgren. I respect you immensely, by the way. Don't get me wrong.
It's because they were alien Yakuza. Alien Yakuza. Yeah. That's how it's like Indiana Jones 4. I got it. Got it. Makes sense.
So, does that make him a hero or a villain? Like, he's...
Or in between, like, an anti-hero.
I consider him a hero, majorly. But every time I tell people that, they give me a weird look, and they go, but he kills people. How can that be a hero?
Well,
is it this look?
Yeah, the look Dave's giving me right now.
Is it because, okay, when you mentioned, because I think a cornerstone, a cornerstone for an anti-hero is they're a hero only for the context of their story. In anybody else's story, they are the bad guy. And, I can understand the look of, that you get from saying that, okay, he is a hero. Do you have an example of why you would consider him a hero?
Well, I mean, I guess it also depends on what you define as a hero, because if you think of like Spider-Man, oh, he's a hero because he saves the day. Oh, what is he saving people from? Oh, from harm's way. Well, Frank Castle, he does the same thing, except he kind of permanently...
Exactly. That's what I love about it. In the Netflix show, he actually states it perfectly when he's talking to Daredevil. He goes, you hit them and they get back up. I hit them and they stay down. It's permanent. I make sure they don't make it out on the street again.
Wow.
I take pride on that. Mm. And to me, that's like, yep, he's cleaning the streets out. He's a good guy. When he fights Captain America, when he fights Daredevil, he doesn't fight them to end them, except for one storyline when... ends everyone.
Well, he won't swing on Cap.
No, he won't. He just
is it out of respect.
Yeah, it's
right?
Out of respect. He's a Cap
both...
is a war hero too.
Right.
So he's just like, nope, I won't do it.
Well, let me ask you this.
in that quote from the Daredevil TV or from the Daredevil TV show is lifted directly, like word for word, from Daredevil comics. It's actually Daredevil Punisher. I have it on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Punisher won't swing on Cap. Cap will sure as shooting swing on the Punisher.
Yeah.
It happens in Marvel Civil War, and it's an odd moment. I've never seen Cap just
Cap
snap
is...
at the sight of somebody. He's so, and that's the thing. Like when we talk about the definition of an antihero, to me, antihero, the way I've always thought about it, is an antihero is a hero that uses villainous means. Yes. Oh, okay. So by virtue of the murdering, of the killing, that is using a less than heroic method to perform what would otherwise be considered heroic deeds. And I mean, he's not, Frank's not the only one that, only hero that's ever killed somebody.
No.
Not in Marvel or DC.
No.
He just has no qualms about it.
At all.
He never has a moment of, oh man, I wonder if I should have done that. He never has that unforgiven Clint Eastwood moment where he thinks to himself, it's a funny thing killing a man. You take away everything he's ever been and everything he's going to be. He's just like, no, I don't have to deal with that anymore. I'm going to go have a taco.
Yep. Greg, you were about to say something, Greg.
Yeah, so my question for that would be, okay, so let me see if I can formulate this in the correct way. Okay, so Frank Castle, yeah, he's killed before. He's going to continue to kill. That's his prerogative. But just like how Spider-Man went through his tragedy with Ben Parker, that kind of formed the person that he became, right? So Frank Castle, his whole thing was, that was just to the extreme. So if for him, killing was the only justification for him, I mean, that's just how he became who he was, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he says multiple times war is the only thing he knows.
Right. And that's just a casualty of war.
Absolutely. And war hit his family. He's like, okay, I don't know what else to do but to go back to war. And he took it to the New York streets.
He just created, or he did. He picked a villain that he saw on the front page.
Yeah.
He wasn't given an order to find a villain. It was there in his face anyway.
Well, you know who else does that? Brooks in The Shawshank Redemption and a number of criminals. They become institutionalized. Also, certain retail workers when they've gotten away for so long.
Okay, so my next question is, so for Spider-Man, right? Because it seems like Spider-Man has a lot of characters in his adventures. So do a lot of characters get introduced into Spider-Man? Because I didn't know that Frank Castle was in Spider-Man. That was news to me.
Yeah, a lot of characters do get introduced in Spider-Man, especially Punisher characters. Like his main villain, Jigsaw, gets introduced in Amazing Spider-Man.
The more you know.
Oh, yeah, right?
Punisher didn't have a solo story until mid-80s. He just spent his time bouncing between Spider-Man, Cap, Nightcrawler, which I haven't been able to read yet, and then Daredevil before he gets his solo series.
The X-Men Nightcrawler?
Yeah, X-Men Nightcrawler.
Oh.
He has a crossover with him. Wow. I can't find it anywhere, so I'm not sure what it is,
okay.
But it looks cool.
Wow. But if you know where to find it, please make sure you hit us up on the Nerdsplated helpline.
For sure. Now, yeah, because the same thing with the Kingpin. I thought the Kingpin was a Spider-Man thing, but then, you know, Daredevil came out. And like, oh, is that the same Kingpin or is this a different one? But it's the same.
Daredevil appropriated the
Kingpin. Okay.
As much as they, you know, as they really wanted Kingpin to be a Spider-Man villain, he became a much bigger issue and a more influential presence in Daredevil comics. You know, shared universe, I guess you get to play with those rules.
Okay.
And yeah, so eventually it was like, oh yeah, we have the Spider-Man villain, we'll let him hop into Daredevil comics. And then Frank Miller went, hey, I have an idea, why don't we introduce him, and then ruin Matt Murdock's whole life.
Now when it comes to like the Punisher, was he known as the Punisher or was he known as something different?
He is known as the Punisher. His villains know him as the Punisher. His allies know him as the Punisher. I like viewing it as Frank Castle died with his family and then became the Punisher. He doesn't keep a lot of connections around. And what Dave was saying about shared universe, Punisher's really lucky to be a part of a shared universe.
Okay.
Because without villains from Spider-Man or Daredevil, he wouldn't have many villains because he kills everybody.
This is true. Who is his long-standing villain is Jigsaw, correct?
Jigsaw and Maude Gnucci.
Okay, so how accurately, because we got Jigsaw in Punisher Warzone with the who played Punisher in that one, Dave?
In Punisher Warzone, that was Ray Stevenson. Ray Stevenson. I loved him.
So we got Punisher. We got Jigsaw in that one.
Yeah.
How accurate was that one? Or was the Netflix series more accurate? Like, was there really a relationship there or not?
I love what Netflix did with Billy Russo, aka Jigsaw.
Okay.
Because Billy Russo is a brother, quote unquote, of Frank Castle in the Netflix series. In the comics and in Warzone, Jigsaw is a mobster hitman who only meets Frank Castle after Frank's the Punisher.
Oh, okay.
So the brotherhood, bonding, and like deep emotional connection between the two that you see in the Netflix series was created for the Netflix series, and it's fantastic.
It is a lot. I mean, it adds a lot of layers of glass to that.
I see what you did.
actually, I had a question regarding his villains. Back in the early 1990s, 1990 or 91, the ever so popular creators of the best video games for the Nintendo, LJN, made one good game that based on the Punisher. And the main villain, the final boss in that video game is Kingpin.
Mm.
How much of a presence has Kingpin ever really been in the Punisher? And then by extension, I know in the Punisher Max, they had a whole storyline with Bullseye. They had a whole storyline with Kingpin. Outside of the Max universe, have Bullseye and Kingpin really ever popped up in Punisher?
A few times. Kingpin pops up in a story arc called The Final Days. But for the most part, Frank is within himself with his villains. And the most recent, or not most recent, but one of the recent runs by Edmondson, he runs into Spider-Man's villain Shocker. And that's a weird battle. So Kingpin is mainly Daredevil side that crosses in every so often.
Okay.
You mentioned Final Days. Let's blow Greg's mind here for a moment.
Okay, how do you want to... So, The Final Days is a... Let me get the
early 90s?
Early 90s run. It's seven issues where Kingpin comes in and kidnaps the Punisher's friend, Micro, and starts hacking off fingers of Micro to get the Punisher to kill one of Kingpin's rivals.
Oh.
Kingpin or Frank Castle ends up going to jail, and in jail he runs into his other villain, Jigsaw.
Okay.
And Jigsaw does some damage to him. Punisher gets out, like Jigsaw makes his face, Frank Castle's face, look like Jigsaw's face, if that makes sense.
Oh.
So when he gets out of jail, finally escapes, he needs to get facial reconstructive surgery.
Right.
And how do I word this, Jess?
So Jess, you say it.
He is in search for a doctor who is a doctor turned drug addict.
Okay.
Greg sounds terrified right now.
I don't know what I'm in for.
So he's remodeling his face, removing scarring, and making him unrecognizable to his enemies, right?
Is that the goal?
That's the goal.
Okay.
He's pretty darn unrecognizable because he comes out black.
He's not going to be laughing. No.
Soon Greg is going to do a complete 180. He's going to be sad.
Get that soak in for him.
Hold on. Okay. Hold on.
You ever gone under the knife and woke up black?
He intentionally goes in Caucasian and comes out a brother man.
He didn't plan that.
Yeah, he planned on facial surgery to be Frank again. It's the doctor's choice to make.
Did
him.
He not have a photo to go off of?
Did he? He did, but it was Lamont from San Francisco.
Apparently, it was a photo negative to go off of.
So.
We're
not done with this story.
Oh, there's more to this story.
Okay. So he leaves, and I don't know how shortly after, because I just did some quick research, but
It's shortly after. He's still heavily medicated from the surgery.
He's driving like a madman and gets pulled over by the cops.
So he's straight up...
He's black and driving like an asshole because he's heavily medicated.
Clearly drugged out driving.
So he gets pulled over.
Okay.
The cops beat him for driving while black.
Yeah, it's a big part of the storyline that the police pull him over...
Yeah, and is that why they beat him, though? Or is...
More or less, that is why they beat him.
Wow. They're
being very socially, like, aware, I guess, making this statement.
Wait, when did this come out?
Before today's... 90s, early 90s.
Or 92, I think.
Wasn't there, wasn't there that the Johnny Cochran... Not Johnny Cochran, the...
Rodney King?
Yeah, yep. Rodney King.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Yep, it was right around that Rodney King. King.
Yep.
Yeah.
Rodney King riots.
He actually gets saved in that fight by Luke Cage.
Yeah, and then they eventually team up.
So, the Punisher, in this case, became a black man.
Uh-huh.
There's actually multiple times where the Punisher leaves Frank Castle and becomes somebody else.
Okay.
There's a brief period he becomes Captain America. Like, Frank Castle Captain America.
Instead of the star on his head, he had the Punisher skull.
Oh, yeah, on his chest and shield. Oh, okay. That's right after the comic book Civil War happened.
No, wait, he had another surgery to look like? or no?
No, he's them by costume only.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought he like got like addicted to like surgeries and...
he's back to being the Caucasian Frank.
Oh, okay.
Wait. Now, how did they pull that off?
I don't know. It's...
So, Civil War ended, spoiler alert for an event that happened 13 years ago with the death of Captain America.
Oh.
No, yeah. I think she's how did he not become black anymore?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know. How
to I'm asking the hard question.
I didn't become Cap. I'm like, Cap died.
Yeah. No,
he just went, I'm Cap now, and everyone went.
Yeah. More or less. And then he does pass it off to Bucky, who takes over the role. At one point, Punisher becomes War Machine, Ghost Rider, Doctor Strange.
War Machine right now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's currently War Machine and Ghost Rider right now.
Oh.
Yeah, he's Ghost Rider in the future.
Who, and Punisher is?
Yeah, Punisher is
Jesus!
Yeah, he gets...
Hell's gonna get full up.
Yeah, no joke.
Yeah, all right, we need here. Let's slow it down for because we just jumped around a whole lot of places.
Yes.
To wrap up, how did the Punisher not become black anymore? Thing, the story ended, and then as comics do, they just that was that little story.
Oh, okay.
Thing.
Okay.
Now we just move on. That was that. Tuesday's over. We're good.
Gotcha. Okay.
Then to the Civil War stuff. Yeah. At the end of Civil War, Cap takes a bullet. Cap dies. The all of Marvel Comics is in mourning. Punisher having the respect for who Cap was, he picks up the shield. He changed. He didn't kill as many people as
no.
Yeah, he just whipped some ass. Yeah,
he knew Cap wouldn't want him to tarnish Captain America's name.
Right, but he felt there needed to be Captain America.
Yeah, but he also felt people needed to die.
So in Marvel Comics,
he's the only one that was okay with that idea too.
Yeah,
because Tony was pissed.
Yes, he was.
Bucky wanted nothing to do with it, and Hawkeye was livid.
Yes, he was. He's actually part of the reason Frank Castle convinces Bucky to take over as Cap.
I remember that. I remember the scenes of Hawkeye convincing Bucky.
Yeah, a lot of people were like, "Bucky, it's got to be you, man."
So
then he became Captain Puerto Rico.
So to touch base on where we're at with Punisher currently. So currently in the comics,
yes,
he's Ghost Rider. Let's start there. How did he become the?
He's currently Ghost Rider in the Thanos series going on currently.
Oh, okay.
Which takes place in the future. We find out in one of the final battles of Earth that Thanos throws Hulk into a building. The building falls on the Punisher, and he's like, "I need to get my vengeance." Mephisto shows up and goes, "Okay. You're now Ghost Rider," and so I want to say that was the last issue, so we'll see how he is as Ghost Rider here soon. That's going to be fun. But in current timeline, Nick Fury Jr. hires Frank Castle to go get a package from a military base and bring it back to him, and that package is the War Machine armor.
Mm.
When Frank sees it, he's like, "Okay, that's mine," and he doesn't give it back to Nick Fury Jr. That's a mouthful there. So he just keeps the suit and becomes War Machine, a.k.a. Punisher, and it's a good suit for the Punisher. Does well for
it. Did he paint the skull?
He does.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you gotta keep the theme.
Like, him as War Machine worries me. He's like, hey, we've taken the Punisher, and now instead of having to reload, that's just automated processes for him. He can aim in 9 directions at once. We also made cancer airborne and contagious. Sorry, Patton Oswalt. I love that. I love that quote, and that's all you, but you're not listening. But if you do, come to St. Louis, I'll buy you a taco.
So, Jess, Greg, what other question? We just shouted out a bunch of stuff there. Is there any, like, specifics in there?
Yeah, what's his face? I can only see Nicolas Cage.
Ghostwriter?
Yeah, thank you, Jess. The Ghostwriter thing. Am I wrong to think that the Ghostwriter was something that was transferred from the devil, but only one person could be Ghostwriter? Or can multiple people be Ghostwriter? Like, what happened to the original Ghostwriter?
To be honest, I love Frank Castle, so when I heard he is Ghostwriter, that's when I started reading Ghostwriter.
Okay. That's
the
fair.
The original Ghostwriter was a guy on a horse way back in like the 1800s.
Yeah.
If anybody out there listening knows what happened to Ghostwriter, we know. Please let us know. Leave us a comment.
For sure.
I say, because I know there's been multiple. I know that it started out with Johnny Blaze. And then it went to Danny Ketch.
Back to Johnny Blaze.
And then I think there may have been more of him in between there. And then there was, the guy who has the muscle car.
Right.
He's a Latin American guy. They did him on Shield. I knew his name.
Yeah.
They
made a big deal of it. Yeah. Agents of Shield.
Yeah. But, I never recall how those mantles get passed from one to the next.
Oh, okay. So, now, to call back on one of our previous episodes, we kind of discussed how certain characters, their timelines or whatever happens in their stories kind of reflects what's happening in real life. So the Punisher was first established back in the
74.
Yep. So would you guys have an idea of what was going on back then to have such a brute character kind of be birthed out of that situation?
Like, go-go boots were the rage. I'll never let the go-go boots go.
Like, I wonder if, like, were gangs like a...
It was mob activity.
Oh, no. Oh, if you want an idea of what New York was like in the 1970s, watch the movie The Warriors.
The Warriors?
New York was a terrifying place to be in the 1970s.
Oh.
You couldn't cross a street without a gang's permission to do so.
Wow.
It was overrun with crime and corruption, and it was a bad place to be.
Oh.
Gotham.
Right.
Gotham wishes. Gotham, oh man, no. Gotham would dread the day that they were like New York in the 70s.
Wow.
Because that means Batman hung it up and decided he wanted to be the Joker's lackey.
Jesus.
They crossed over at one point, by the way, Punisher and Batman did.
Really?
Yeah, and Punisher corners the Joker in an alleyway, and he's like, more or less, I'm tired of you breaking out of prison. I'm going to end you. Batman pops down from wherever he pops down from the heavens and steps between Frank Castle, the Punisher, and the Joker, and he tells the Joker to run. He will kill you. It's so cool to see. Oh,
wow.
Because finally, Batman is defending the Joker against the Punisher. That's just a weird mind, like.
Yeah, but I think Frank would have put a bullet through Batman just to hit.
Yeah, exactly. Now,
oh, you're dressed as a flying rat. I don't care. Yeah.
Now, are there any DC characters that's similar to the Punisher? I mean, I guess would Deathstroke be?
It'd be Red Hood.
Red Hood. Okay.
Yeah, because he becomes a nighttime vigilante, and, you know, similar to, you know, his dual
death doesn't. Okay.
So actually, another part of Wolfman's question that we had there, he asked about, you know, what to read to do single issues. So with the stuff with the Thanos comic and Punisher War Machine, are those available that you know of in collected editions, or is it really just going to be? Are they only 6 issues in, and it would take, you know, almost no time and no money to pick up the individuals and be caught up?
For the current stuff, yeah, it's only available in single issues right now. It's not done with the story arc. They're still building the story. So you can catch up on those now by visiting a local comic book shop. They probably will have them. So I recommend that. But for the older stuff, I'm not a fan of single issues, minus collecting key ones for collector's reasons, because they're so hard to reread a single issue. Whereas graphic novels, which collects anywhere between 2 to 6 to 8 to an omnibus that has 100 issues, you can reread those any Sunday.
Yeah, oh, I would totally agree with that. I think most of the single issues I have are for collector purposes.
So coincidentally, guys, while we're sitting here recording this episode, we actually got a tweet at our NerdSplainIt Twitter account from Hey, it's Isaac. So it's kind of a coincidence that we're sitting here recording it and someone jumps in with, you know, threw us a tweet. So it was really, this is really awesome. So hey, hey, it's Isaac. Sorry, I'm butchering that. I don't understand Twitter. I don't. But anyway, he threw out a great question, and I'm really glad that this came through while we're recording the episode. Said, my question is, why is Tom Jane the best Punisher? So Thomas Jane was the Punisher in the 2004 movie, like we talked about, we mentioned a couple times earlier. This kind of opens us up, like, okay, which version of the Punisher have we liked the most, and necessarily why? So there was the 80s Dolph Lundgren, there was a 2000, we didn't get Squat until 2004 for the Thomas Jane, and then 2 years later we got Punisher Warzone, yep, with Ray Stevens, and then we got in 2017... the new Punisher.
John Bernthal.
I can never say his name.
There's an animated one in between there, but that's it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Jerry. So, like, we got different versions of the Punisher. Or different personality things out of... God, I can't talk right now. Different parts of the Punisher that were put forward. So, which one of you liked the most?
I've heard Dave say this a lot on the podcast. I would buy John Bernthal a taco if he ever came in.
You buy him a burrito.
Okay, I will buy him a burrito. But yeah, no, I love what he did with the character. He gets the seriousness. He gets the humanity of the character. Before Netflix started, I agree, Thomas Jane is fantastic at it. But that's my two cents.
What was it about Thomas Jane's Punisher that you liked so much? Was it because he wasn't the terror? Like, there were bits and pieces in the 2004 Punisher where it's, oh shit, he's mad now. Which is where you get all the time with John Bernthal's Punisher. But what was it about Thomas Jane's Punisher that you liked the most?
What I would say is I found him fun. Like, okay, when he's torturing the guy, he doesn't actually torture him. He uses a popsicle.
Oh yeah, like, or the butterfly knife thing.
Yeah,
where shouldn't play with knives. I absolutely love that sequence.
The characters around it were very much grounded in comic book lore too, with Welcome Back Frank introducing all his roommates. So it felt like they did a lot of right there.
Oh, so Welcome Back Frank is an actual series that they did, or
it's a 16 issue miniseries.
Oh, okay. From when?
Early 2000s, I want to say.
Oh, okay. So the movie drew from a very recent run.
Pretty much any movie minus the 80s one, any video game, any TV show that you play comes from Garth Ennis's Punisher run, have it be Welcome Back Frank or Max.
Well, did Garth Ennis write Welcome Back Frank?
He did.
Okay, because Welcome Back Frank wasn't Max. It was Marvel part of a Knights. short-lived offshoot that they wanted to do that was sort of not quite as light as a traditional comic book, but not as heavy as what Max would become, known as Marvel Knights.
Yes.
Wherein the Punisher, as well as Moon Knight and Daredevil, all fell under the Marvel Knights thing. Really didn't last.
No.
Oh man, it did not last. I think Daredevil had the longest run in that one, and that was during the Brian Michael Bendis days.
So Dan
and Kevin Smith.
And Kevin
Smith. Give him his credit.
Yeah,
Garth,
love you,
no.
Kevin.
So, Dave, which Punisher is your? I already know, but which Punisher is your favorite?
My favorite is Ray Stevenson. I liked what they do with John Bernthal, but that's long form storytelling to me, and that's a completely different beast. You had, you know, 10 hours to tell a story, and I like the parts where he became severely unhinged, because I always maintain the Punisher's a lot like Batman.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know. know, if it was just a different alignment in a D&D game, they'd just be villains.
Yeah.
And Thomas Jane, I like, but there were certain things I think about the movie that was surrounding him that I had bigger issues with. Flaming Skull at the end being principal among them. Mm. Ray Stevenson scared the piss out of me. Ray mm-hmm. Stevenson doesn't talk for his first 25 minutes on screen. And who did The Punisher just a couple years ago? Oh my God. Because the first issue, he didn't say a thing. It was the same guy that went on and wrote Wonder Woman, like Blood, Iron, all that stuff.
Brian Azzarello.
No, not that one.
I was about to say, because he wrote Blood. I have it behind me.
Okay, no, then I'm thinking of somebody else. But it was a writer that went on to do, I think Wonder Woman, or done Wonder Woman previously. But the first issue, Punisher doesn't even speak. And so when you get into Punisher Warzone, it starts with this big scene of this dinner with this mob family. Right. The lights go out, a flare goes up, he's standing on the table, and everything goes insane. It is such a bloodbath. Mm. And he doesn't say a word for about 25 minutes. He's just he's a presence. He's a force of nature. And I thought Stevenson did that very well. He was very serious. He took the training for it mm-hmm. extraordinarily seriously. And he was a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
And also the suit that they gave him was yeah. lifted straight out of the comics. Yes. It was tactical armor all the way. I loved it.
So, Jazz, Greg, what about you guys?
So, I'm going to be honest here. I didn't watch any of the movies.
That's fair.
I've seen the Netflix series. So by default, that's my favorite Punisher. Is John but I do feel like as I was preparing for this episode and talking to Jerry throughout the week, I feel like I got a really good understanding of who Frank Castle is because of John Bernthal. Mm-hmm. Like I understood he's a cuddly teddy bear inside, but he's just extremely, extremely guarded and
except for when he punches a polar bear.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. In the Welcome Back, Frank storyline, he gets his enemies at a zoo and he wants to use the zoo animals against them, but the polar bears are too nice. So he straight up just haymakers a polar bear in the face.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, in the Batman Venom storyline, Batman punched a shark while he was high on venom.
Well, yeah, there we go. Yeah. So what we're saying is animals have it coming.
So the whole zoo level of the THQ Punisher game from 2004 basically lifted from Welcome Back Frank. Best that, Punisher video game.
That whole video game, Welcome Back Frank, is a big part of it. You get the Russian, you get the zoo scene, you get Ma in there. All of that comes from Welcome Back Frank.
Okay. So, Greg, how about you? Have you just only watched the Netflix series, or did you see any of the other movies?
The only other exposure I've had to The Punisher was the 2004 with Tom Jane.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even know if my perspective is even legitimate. The way that I look at movies is, at least back in the day, I say back in the day, it's only 2018, but it seemed like the movie studios at the time seemed more into does the actor look like the character on the pages? And I feel like Tom Jane was close to what the character looked like in the comic book.
Oh, Thomas Jane very much looks like the Steve Dillon drawn Punisher. Yes, very much so.
When was that from?
Welcome Back, Frank.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
So then
I will talk on and on about Welcome Back, Frank. I love that.
It's all good.
That looks like John Bernthal.
Man.
So it's like, well, is Tom Jane the best Punisher? It's like, well, does he look the closest to the character? Then maybe that's the perspective that they're looking at it. But I feel like John Bernthal was the best embodiment of, or the essence of who Frank Castle was, just because as the audience watching the Netflix series, you feel for him, like you're killing along with him, like you're justifying his actions in the movie. Although, spoiler alert, the ending of the series was a little much for me, and that's saying a lot because I don't mind blood and gore. You know,
I love blood and glory. I don't have that recorded.
Well, I mean, like I've worked in fields where I've seen, you know, dead bodies. I've been exposed to that kind of stuff, and even for me, that was brutal.
I have questions.
Next week's episode. What the fuck, Greg?
Yeah, next week's episode. Unpacking.
Yeah, everything was, hey, Jess, what did...
Why are you sitting in there? Right?
Blink twice if you're not okay.
We won't get into all that, but yeah.
So each of these different movies and the Netflix series, I think we're just avoiding talking about the Dolph Lundgren Punisher because it's not really
Dolph Lundgren was Punisher,
right? I think it was a Punisher in name only. Exactly, really, yeah. They were just trying to get a movie made.
It was Showdown in Little Tokyo with the Punisher moniker,
right? So it's
somehow goofier than Punisher Warzone.
Right.
Like, Punisher Warzone, for as much as I like Ray Stevenson, as much as I like Tom Shane, it's so goofy.
Yeah. It is. So
and that's part of my issue with the movie. Yeah.
So to reach back to the voicemail that we got us on this track, so the caller, Wolfman, he wanted recommendations.
Yes.
So we've talked about the... You know, if you want to get into some of this newer stuff where he's War Machine and where he's Ghost Rider, head on down to your local comic book shop. Those are going to be easy enough to find, really. Let's talk about some of the graphic novels. We've talked about Welcome Back, Welcome Home, Frank.
Welcome Back, Frank.
Welcome Back, Frank. Welcome Back, Cotter. Mr. Katea. So we got that one that we have referenced a fair bit, but I want to. This is really the only main Punisher I've read, which is Punisher Max.
Mm.
And then you can please give us some other ones, because there is other Punisher that I definitely want to read, too.
There is.
But Punisher Max, so the Max series that Marvel did, it was adult-oriented comics.
Yeah, the Max imprint was very much adult-themed, rated M, rated R, whatever rating right. you want to go by.
Explicit content.
I'm sorry. It's Frank Castle. When is none of his stuff... adult-oriented.
Well, so his original stuff, he shot people, he did all that. If you read Punisher Max, they take anatomy very seriously.
Oh.
They show you some stuff that there's a guy, well, it's a family show we're on, I guess. I won't talk
kinda.
About him.
We have our moments.
Testicles in a cup.
That's true. We can't market it as explicit. Rated M for mature.
Yeah, no, he does some very graphic stuff in the Max series.
Okay.
But if you're wanting to get to know the Punisher, there's a great starting point called Born. It's done by Garth Ennis. It is a Vietnam story that has Frank Castle in it, not the Punisher, Frank Castle. And it's him developing his skills that he will later use as the Punisher. It's a fantastic
story. What was the title is again?
Born.
Is it B O U R N E, or is it like Jason Bourne, or is it like B R N?
B O R N.
Okay.
As if it's to burst forth from the womb.
Yes. Oh, okay. Okay.
And it's very well done. It's not that long. I recommend the graphic novel find of it, just because that's the whole story one bit. It's Vietnam level. I'm forgetting Full Metal Jacket-esque.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Didn't Ennis write that after his run on Max?
In the middle of his run on Max.
Oh, okay.
He wanted to... So Ennis, we keep talking about Ennis. Garth Ennis writes some violent stuff, and he's perfect for the Punisher. He started with Welcome Back, Frank, which I've dressed a lot. He later went on to write the Punisher Max imprint series for 60 issues. And during that, he wanted to give an origin story outside of his family dying. So okay. He took him all the way back to the war and showed you how he became the Punisher, how he learned to become the Punisher.
Okay.
So if you're looking for stuff to read for the Punisher, look for the name Garth Ennis. You will not do wrong.
Okay.
Well, I ask you a question real quick?
No.
To kind of, well, you said that they went all the way back to show you how he became the Punisher. Well, he didn't really become the Punisher until after his family died. So when he came back from the war, was he different with his family? Or because it seemed like he was like a loving
guy.
No,
war never changes anyone.
Well, I mean, like seemed like he was a family man. He was a loving guy. He didn't come back broken. But they kind of showed that in the Netflix series a little bit.
He comes back very broken. I forget the exact inner monologue he gives.
Okay.
But pretty much he's talking to the Punisher in his head, saying, I will be here if you need me. And he later needs him and unlocks that part of his brain again and brings him back.
That's pretty bad.
So he's very broken, and he's able to condense that down, put it in a little storage box in the shed somewhere, and become a family man for all of like a week.
Wow.
And so he's like, whoa. Shoot.
So that's welcome home, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, Frank, whatever. Punisher Mask. So what are some other good ones? And like, what are some that is like, just maybe not necessarily, let's call it essential reading. Now, by the way, I will make a side note. One of the things that Jerry's going to be doing for us here at Nerdsplain It is on our website, where you can find our episodes. He's also going to be doing little articles about the episode, kind of some of the stuff that we cover. He's going to, and this episode particularly, he's going to, any of the books that we talk about today, he's actually going to list on there, and it's going to be, you know, the title, author, artist, and then like the publication dates and stuff like that, and where you can find them, and like their collected editions of graphic novels and everything. So that's going to be a huge help to us. We're really glad to bring him on board for that. So Jared, what else do you have for us in regards to other suggested reading?
There's some good stuff. Greg Rucka did a three volume set.
That's what I was thinking of, with the one where the first issue he doesn't say anything. It was Greg Rucka.
Yeah, he did. At some point he crosses over with Spider-Man and Daredevil in that run. You get a fantastic character named Rachel Cole Alves that becomes the female Punisher. That is really cool.
Oh.
So Greg Rucka series, I'll get links and images for you guys so you can view the articles. Also, I'm not sure if it's in trade, so you might have to track down the single issues of what I'm... It's done by a guy named Gregenheim and an artist named Yu. Gregenheim did some Arrow work for the TV show Arrow.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
He wrote, he wrote a two-part single issue story where the Daredevil turns himself into the police for murdering a district attorney. And everyone's like, why did you turn yourself in? What is going on? And over the two issues, you find out who he's trying to get to by turning
himself in. Oh, Punisher turns himself
in. Yeah, Frank Castle turns himself in. Wow. Matt Murdock comes on as his defense attorney. Matt Murdock, being Daredevil, and who knows who Frank Castle is clearly, is like, what are you doing? He's like, just get me in. It's fun.
Wow.
That's not the first time Frank's done that either.
Yeah.
Ed Brubaker wrote a story for Daredevil in the early 2000s called The Devil Inside and Out, where Matt Murdock is going to Rikers Federal Penitentiary for being a superhero. It's in the wake of Civil War. And when Frank sees this, because Matt's going to wind up, everyone knows Matt Murdock is Daredevil. He's going into a prison where he played a lot of people, including Bullseye and the Kingpin. Frank sees this either in a paper or on TV, murders a drug dealer right in front of the cops, and when they go to arrest him, he puts up his hands, which reveals the skull on his shirt, and the cops just go, oh, shit. He purposely murders a drug dealer, I think it is, right in front of the cops so he can get arrested for it. Did you ever... I was meaning to ask. I remember back in the 80s and 90s, there were some Punisher offshoots. There was Punisher War Zone and Punisher War Journal. Do you have opinions on either of those?
I do, but not a lot. For me, the Punisher is late 90s on, because in the 80s, during War Journal, War Zone, he gets ultra comic booky almost.
Also, it's set in the 90s.
Yeah, it's set in, and it also is released in the
90s. Oh, was it? Okay.
When his original second and third series gets started.
Oh, okay.
He gets kind of a parody of himself, it almost seems, at times. And Garth Ennis resets all that with Welcome Back, Frank, and makes him serious again. Mm-hmm. So, it's good backstory if you want some fun stuff, but if you want to know who the Punisher is, in my opinion at least, you start with Born and Welcome Back, Frank, and go on from there. If you want to read stuff where he crosses over with other heroes and villains, Garth Ennis's stuff, for the most part, isn't where to go.
Right.
Because he crosses over with Nick Fury, sure. But if you want to read him going against Daredevil, Spider-Man, Shocker, all this stuff, read the Greg Rucka stuff. Read... 2014 series by Nathan Edmondson, which is really good. He moves out to L.A. and not New York. It's a cool little change of pace for him.
Well, I guess, I mean, the reason you don't get those crossovers is because the Max universe was a completely different universe.
Exactly.
It didn't exist in the same universe as what Marvel refers to as their 616.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the Punisher needed a decade without anybody else to re-find who himself was. And just kind of go on sabbatical and come back a better man.
Well, he kept killing everybody.
Well, yeah.
he would have had no villains left in the Marvel Universe. Was it Max where Barracuda first came about?
Yes, the later part of the Max Barracuda comes in.
Okay. Barracuda, for those of you who haven't heard of him, which is probably a lot of people, because I think right now Jerry and I are just dishing on Max.
Yeah.
Barracuda is, he's like a dark reflection of Frank.
Yeah.
He has all the skills. He has all the weapons. I mean, he is as good of a marksman and as good of a hand-to-hand fighter. Yeah. But he has even less of a moral compass because he legitimately enjoys the killing and does it for profit.
Yeah. Whereas
he's
Frank,
a great character, though.
Where Frank just does it to get the criminal off the street, it seems like Barracuda loves killing. And there's a part where Frank Castle discovers Barracuda's armory and he's jealous of it. Like, he's like, oh, I like what you got going on down here. It's great. He has a little bromance going at that point, I think.
Did you know Barracuda was hired to kill Eminem?
Oh, what? That's right. I totally...
Explain.
Please take over.
Yeah, Jess, what you got on that one?
Okay, so that's a really, really odd crossover.
I'd say so.
The story is ridiculous. I don't know a whole lot. I just kind of came across this while preparing for the episode, but I guess the Punisher kills all of Eminem's entourage in Detroit at a concert.
Oh.
Yep. D12?
D12.
And there's also a great scene in that, if I'm remembering correctly, where Slim Shady's running away from Frank Castle and hides in a building. Frank opens the door, and Eminem just pistol whips him and knocks him out. Yeah.
Anyway, so go ahead, Jess. So D12 gone.
So
zero now.
The entourage is gone, and it turns out that the Punisher is trying to save Slim Shady from Barracuda.
Yeah.
And Barracuda ends up putting them on a boat in the Arctic.
Okay.
And yeah, I don't know exactly all of the details about how this goes, but
it sounds like someone was on some blue and yellow and purple pills. see what I did there? I'm so white.
Well, then they were on a boat, mother.
But yeah, I guess overall the plot makes absolutely no sense. But no,
I mean it makes.
Effect.
It makes just as much sense as Punisher's crossover with Archie, or Archer, yes. If you watch
Oh my so god, petty. I totally forgot Punisher Archie in the Archie universe.
Yep.
Oh,
I also
man.
Love Predator and Archie. Yeah. Oh, that was so good.
So will we see
Sorry, Greg.
John Bernthal on Riverdale?
I'm hoping.
Just walk in and shoot the cast.
Could you imagine John Bernthal on like Sesame Street?
No, you do it as a Sopranos.
Brought to you by the letter B. J for justice.
Yeah, you do it like a Sopranos ending. Everybody in Riverdale is sitting around at a diner eating food, and then the Punisher walks in and it cuts to black.
Nice.
So, you know, we're talking about suggestions for reading. I have one that I'm going to finally bite the bullet on and check out. It hurts a little bit. Huh?
Pun intended on biting the bullet?
Bullets and Bracelets. This is
yes.
A crossover with the Punisher and Wonder Woman. And it kind of hurts me deep inside to think about all of her compassion and empathy with all of his
angst.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll branch out to another episode at some point, but you do realize Wonder Woman really wanted to date Bruce Wayne for the long time, right?
I didn't know that.
And yeah. Then she murdered Maxwell Lord with her bare hands.
Anyway, go ahead. So bullets and Bracelets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was 1996. I've known about it for a while. It hurts me a little bit to think about that internal battle there, and I wasn't ready for it. I think I'm just going to go ahead and...
And I'll find out what novel that's in, what graphic novel that's in, but that's part of the merge between DC and Marvel. And
the amalgam stuff.
The amalgam stuff. Yeah, so they did collect the amalgam stuff in graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, you could probably find Bullets and Bracelets or Bracelets and Bullets. I forget the order that's arranged.
Bullets and Bracelets.
Bin. Yeah. Okay, you could probably find that in a dollar bin somewhere, but the amalgam stuff is so good. I do recommend just getting the graphic novel and enjoying Dark Claw, which
Dark
was
Claw.
Batman and Wolverine crossing over, Superboy and Spider-Man crossover into one guy.
I've got a bunch of them in the other room, yeah. Cap and Superman are the super soldier.
Yeah, so it's fun stuff to read. I do recommend tracking down that.
So I think we've covered a lot with the Punisher today. Who Frank is, what his motivations are, who some of his surrounding cast is. So to our listener, Wolfman, thank you very much for calling in with the question and wanting to get some recommendations. Hopefully bringing in a Punisher expert like Jerry Wookie Bay, bringing him in was hopefully that was definitely a plus and was able to give a lot more information, a lot more in-depth stuff, and plus the reading recommendations. Hopefully that definitely answered all of that for you.
Oh yeah, and thanks for twittering in too as well.
Oh yeah, and Twitter, the guy who twittered in, what was his name? I apologize.
Hey, it's Isaac.
Hey, it's Isaac. Definitely really appreciated that little tweet coming in right in the middle of the episode. That helped us keep going with what we were talking about. And you know, it's thank you for having me on too.
Guys. Well, I feel like since you're Jerry Wookie Bay, anything that you write should be signed off with, or any of your articles should be under a heading that's called Wook as Fuck.
That was good.
Yeah, Wook as Fuck.
And Jerry, I have to say, you have an open invitation to join us at any
time.
You're
going to have to fight me to keep me away from coming back.
That's my house.
I pay half the mortgage. Come on back.
Record the park. It's been great, guys. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. So this was this week's issue of Nerdsplain It. Again, check us out on all the social medias. Make sure you're liking, sharing, and subscribing. If you are listening on iTunes, make sure you're leaving us a review. Helps us climb the charts a little bit.
That's right.
Make sure to call us in with that Nerdsplain It helpline, 805-669-7230. Clearly, we're listening to it. This was the first voicemail we got left in, and boom, we jumped right in on doing an episode in it. So we like to respond to that stuff. We are listening to you. Thank you again for listening. We are seeing a lot of response, not just from friends and family members that listen to this show. We're seeing our audience grow. And
shout out to the UK.
Yeah, our UK audience making up 8% of our audience right now.
Yeah.
So that's great. It's nice to know that we've got listeners in all 50 states downloading our show. We can't keep doing this if it isn't for you guys, so thank you very, very much.
I can't. It's just the children that walk by in the park don't listen.
So I think that's going to do it for this issue of Nerdsplain It. I've been House. Jess?
Bye.
Greg?
See you guys later.
Davey Boy?
Love a dub dub!
Jerry Wookie Bay?
Hope to be back soon.
Teacher, you didn't give us homework for spring break.
Also, here's a panel of him punching a polar bear.
Yeah.
It warms my heart a little. Small things.
Because you hate the environment.
I do. I use hairspray every day just for kids.
Not even on his hair, just on his front lawn.
It smells good.
Wait, were you talking in a metaphor, or you mean like the grass in front of his house?
Yes.
Oh! I thought you meant he hairsprayed his bush.
No, it was a hey, I raise a hand. Who uses hairspray on their bush? Well, I don't have a bush. I laser down there. It's like a turtle shell.
My mom's gonna be so proud of me, right?